Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham.
Can you hear me? Okay, stay standing just for a minute. Sorry. I have to stand, you have to stand, we all have to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We love you. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you are in this place. We thank you that you have called and chosen each one of us to belong to you. We thank you, Jesus, that we are part of your family, that we are part of your body, that we are part of what you are doing in the earth at this time. Jesus, we thank you that we are your vessels that you want to use to pour your life, to pour who you are through us. Jesus, we thank you that we are those living vessels.
Yes.
That you want to use to pour your kingdom fruit. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the fragrance that you want to release through our lives, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, in this time and in this day and where things are going on, Father, I thank you that you want to release the fragrance of who you are in the earth through your church, through your bride, and it brings you such delight, Lord God, that you would use your church, your beloved, your bride, to release the fragrance of who you are on the earth. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we're more than just a number. We thank you, Jesus, that you have called us, you have chosen us, and you have appointed us, Lord God, and you have placed your spirit on the inside of us, and you want to release all that you are through us, Lord God, through us, Lord God, through me, Lord God, through the one sitting next to me, Lord God. I thank you for the fragrance of who you are filling our streets, our homes, our town. Let the fragrance of who you are, Jesus. And like we heard, Father, we bow and we surrender to your will, to your voice, to your call. Whatever you want, let it be. Whatever you have ordained, whatever you have predestined, whatever you have assigned, let it be, Father. Let our footsteps walk in your predestined steps, Lord God, for each one of our lives, Lord God. Let our footsteps follow the Master's footsteps. And let us walk in place and in time with your spirit, Lord God, in what you are doing in these days, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. Father, we say, come and have your way. Father, come and speak, Lord God. Come and move, Lord God. Come and do whatever you want to do. Father, we give you this time, Lord God. It is your time. Holy Spirit, we give it to you. And Father, we open up our ears to the voice of your spirit right now. And we open up our hearts to the voice of your spirit right now. Holy Spirit, I'm awake and I'm listening. I'm awake and I'm listening. Holy Spirit, I'm here and I'm listening to your voice right now. Holy Spirit, that will not follow the voice of another. Holy Spirit, we are ready to hear you. We love you. We worship you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. There is no end to you, Holy Spirit. You pour it out, you pour it out, you pour it out, and all you're looking for is an empty vessel. You pour it out and you pour it out. You are the overflow. You are the overflow, Jesus. Would you find us ready and available in our hearts, Jesus? You are here in this place, and we are ready to receive from you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you. We adore you. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. You are so good. You are so good. You are so good. Oh, you want to enlarge our capacity. You want to enlarge our capacity. You want to enlarge our capacity of who we think you are and who we think we are. Lord God, you want to enlarge. You want to break down every wall and every hindrance and every every cap that we have placed upon our own lives, Lord God. You want to enlarge us.
Thank you, Lord.
Because there's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more. Oh, there's so much more of you, Jesus. There's so much more of you, Jesus. I could search for all eternity, Lord. There's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more. Oh, Shiana Mamahai, that He wants to do in your life, Shebe. Oh, I feel it in my spirit, Shebahai. There's so much more, Shebebahai. Yana Mama Masekete Bebeshe. Jesus, Jesus. There's so much more. Thank you. Oh, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready. Oh, we're moving, we're moving, we're moving with you, Father. We hear you, and we're moving with you, Father. To the sound of your beat, and to the sound of your voice, we're moving with you, Father. There's nowhere else we'd rather go. We're moving with you, Father. We thank you. Amen. I better get on to amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. I want to just share a couple of things with you that the Lord has been showing me recently. And I hope they bless you. A couple of months ago, I was praying and I had this picture, this sound, this picture. And what I saw was the sound of war arising in the earth. And there was the sound of fear, the sound of war, the sound of chaos arising in the earth. And then I saw the sound of worship arising in the earth. And I felt the Lord say to me, it's time for the sound of worship to arise in the earth, which overwhelms the sound of war and the sound of fear and the sound of chaos and every other voice and every other sound that would try and come upon the earth. The sound of worship needs to arise in the earth. And I continue to pray into that. And God developed that. And I also saw the sound of intercession arising in the earth. And I saw intercession just arising up. And then I saw this person, and I knew this person represented the church. And the Lord said to me, it's time for the intercessor to be awakened. It's time for the intercessor to be awakened in the earth. And the Lord didn't just mean a group of people that pray and they're called to intercede, but the spirit of intercession and the spirit of prayer that He has put upon the church, it's time for the intercessor to be awakened in the earth. And it's at that time, it's like I saw hundreds of people praying, and the sound of prayer, it was fathers praying for their children, mothers praying for their husband, children praying for their schools. And the sound of intercession was arising in the earth. And God wants to awaken the house of prayer. God wants to awaken the spirit of intercession and the spirit of prayer that is in your life and is upon your life. That it has to rise up at this time when there's so much other noise and so many other things going on. His church is to release the sound of heaven. His church is to release the voice of heaven. His church is to release the sound of worship, to declare the name that is above every other name, that pulls down every principality, every power, and every other name that is named. It is the sound of our King. And there is a sound, I believe, in the Spirit that the Lord wants to release through His church. And it's a strong sound. It's a sound that comes with the voice of God. It's a sound that comes with the rule and reign of God. And as it's released, it shifts things and it moves things and it deals with hidden agendas. It deals with principalities and powers that we cannot deal with. But the sound of God and the sound of worship and the sound of who He is filling the earth can deal with the things that we cannot deal with. And He wants to use His church to release that sound through our lives. And I want to take you to Exodus If you want to turn there with me, I'm going to share a couple of things. In Exodus 33, it's a story of Moses. Some of you may know it very well. And I just want to pick up on a couple of things. It says, Moses, from verse 7, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he returned to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, if I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said to him, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except if you go with us? So we will be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord says to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory."
Amen.
And I love this passage, because in this passage, we see a beautiful dialogue happening between Moses and the Lord. The Lord is speaking and Moses is speaking. The Lord is speaking and Moses is speaking. And Moses is yearning for the presence of the Lord. Moses is yearning for the Lord to be with him everywhere that he goes. He says, "God, it's not going to work unless your presence is with me. It's not going to work unless you go with me. I'd rather stay here in the wilderness without you, but with you, than go without you." And he knew that without the presence of God, it would not work. And he goes further to say, "Please, God, show me your glory." And then the Lord says to him, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I am gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion," he said to him. "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock." Jesus is our rock. "And it shall be that while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by." And when I was praying during the prayer and fasting, I had a picture of the throne. And before the throne, there was reserved seats. And each one of these seats, individually before the throne, had different names on them. And and I was praying for the church. I was praying for myself. I was praying for us. And the Lord said, "There is a place reserved for you before the throne of God that is only for you." And he purchased that with his blood. And God wants to restore that place before his throne. He wants to restore that place of intimacy before him that is reserved only for you. And he purchased it with the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ, so you could have that place before his throne, and all his goodness can pass before you. That he wants all that he is to pass over you and in you. And it is a place reserved just for you. you. And I believe in these days that God is awakening us to more of who He is. Amen. He's awakening us Amen. To what He has done, but yes. also to who is living on the inside of us. Amen. It says that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, that God right. is living and dwelling on the inside of yes. us. And in that story with Jacob's ladder, he sees the ladder reaching from heaven to earth, and angels are descending and ascending upon it. And he wakes up and he says, surely the Lord was in this place, but I did not know it. Yes. And God is changing the I did not know it to I knew it. He wants to open up yes. our eyes to yes. more of who He is, Amen. To perceive Him in a greater way, Thank to behold Him in a greater way, yes. to realize, because He goes on to say, how awesome is this place? Right. This is none other than the house of God. Right. How awesome is this place? Yes. This is none other than the house of God. How awesome is this place that God dwells in this place, Amen. Not just individually, but corporately. Yes. How awesome is this place that God wants to take the cap off so that His presence is revealed yes. in a greater way and His glory is made known through us Amen. And in us in a greater way.
Thank you, Father.
And in the story of Mary and Martha, many of you heard that story. And the reason why I want to share it is I believe it's really important, because in this story, we can all think that, Martha's the bad one and Mary's the good one. And it's not really about that. It's about where we position ourselves.
That's right.
It's about where we position ourselves in the season that we're living in and how we live our day today. And in this story, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and she heard and she received His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve you alone? Therefore, go and tell her off. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. One thing that is above everything else, one thing that should hold all our priority, one thing is needed in your life to be the top, to be the best, to be the first. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her. And Jesus was in the room and Martha missed it. Jesus wanted to give her words of life, but she was unable to receive them because she had not positioned herself before Jesus' feet. And He had words to give her, but she couldn't receive them and she couldn't have them. Not because He wasn't willing to give it, but because she hadn't positioned herself before Him. And God is repositioning our lives before Him so that we can receive all that He wants to give us. Amen. And it doesn't mean that nothing else matters, but He matters the most. Amen. He is Amen. The one thing. Everything circles around Him. Everything has its being around Him. Amen. And in Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, you all know it, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And that doesn't mean I'm stuck in this building. It means the presence of the Lord. One thing above all else, it all comes down to this. If I could think, God, what is the most important thing in my life? What is the most important thing, desire that I have? It comes down to this. And you can hear the heart of David saying, it comes down to this. I have thought of everything. I have palaces. I have different things. But one thing above all else, my greatest desire is to be with you and to behold you.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And David goes on to say, when you said, seek my face. Yes, Lord. And he answers the question. The Lord says to him, seek my face. In prayer, require my presence as your greatest need. And David's heart responds, my heart yes. said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. When you said, seek my face, My heart said, yes, Lord. I seek your face. I will seek your face. And in Song of Songs, in chapter 1, there's a verse that one of my friends shared a couple of weeks ago. And I believe it's really important, so I want to share it and what she pulled out from it. And it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than life. And she went on to do a little study on it. And it said, this spirit kiss is what made Adam, the man of clay, into a living expression of God. Dust and deity met when the maker kissed his spirit wind into Adam. The word of God is the kiss from the mouth of our beloved, breathing upon us with the revelation of his love. That's amazing. The Hebrew word for kiss, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, is nashka, which can also mean to equip or to arm for battle. How awesome is that? His kiss arms us and equips us for battle. We need his kisses to become equipped warriors for him. And when I was reading and praying through that, I was immediately reminded of the passage in Ezekiel 37. And he wants to breathe into his church. And in order for a kiss to happen, you have to be pretty close to somebody for that to happen. And God wants to breathe into his church. He wants to breathe into us, but we've got to be close enough to receive the breath of God. We've got to be in that place before him, before his throne room, where we can receive the kiss of God. We can receive the breath of God. We can receive his life, which enables us to rise up and stand strong in these days. Amen. To be able to stand against everything that would try and bombard us. We need the kisses of the King. We need the breath of the living God on the inside of us to come and blow in us. And I had a picture and I saw the Lord breathing in his church, and he was breathing, but he was also breathing fire, and he was breathing the wind of his spirit, but he was also breathing the fire of his spirit, the zeal of his spirit, the passion of his spirit, because he wants to reawaken the embers of love that have grown cold, that have grown weary because of the heaviness of life. He wants to reawaken the intimacy and the fire that has been locked up in many people's lives because of the weight and the pressure that he knows is so hard, and his heart is so full of compassion and so full of love that he says, I want to breathe in you. I want to breathe my fire. I want to breathe my life. I want to breathe my love in you, so that what has overwhelmed you begins to fall off, and what has come upon you has no power and has had no hold on you again, because it was his breath that caused the army to rise up. It was the breath of God. It was not the might of man. It was not the power of man. It was not the enabling of man. It was the spirit of the living God, the breath of God, that caused dry bones, what should have stayed dead, began to rise up under the breath of the living God. And he wants to breathe in these days, because he knows it's hard, and he knows the struggles. And so he wants to breathe his life. He wants to breathe his strength. Yes. He wants to breathe all that he is into our lives, so that we begin to rise up and we're no longer surviving, but we're thriving.
Amen.
We're no longer surviving, but we are thriving in who he is.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And I also want to share, we are called to be a house of prayer, individually and corporately. And in the passage where Jesus, he clears out the temple. And I was looking into that a couple of months ago. And it says, for zeal for your house has consumed me. And the temple represented a place of connection with God. It represented a place of worship. It represented a place where heaven could touch earth and earth could touch heaven. And Jesus comes in, and we know in this passage he's a bit angry. And why is he angry? Why is he so full of zeal? Because he knew that that place was to represent a place of connection with God. He knew that that place was to represent heaven invading earth, where man could touch God and God could touch man. So he comes in and he begins to clear out everything that shouldn't be there. He begins to clear out everything that stops it being the place that he always intended it to be. And we have now become these temples, and he wants to clear out everything that would stop it being that place of fellowship with him, that place of intimacy with him, but also that touch point where heaven can invade earth through his life. And he comes with his zeal, he comes with his love, and he begins to clear out things, he begins to turn the table, and he begins to remove things, because he is zealous for his church, and he is zealous for your intimacy. He cares about meeting with you so much. He cares about connecting with you so much that he comes in and he upsets a lot of people and he clears out everything that shouldn't be there. And he says, I want to restore the house of prayer. I want to restore the house of my glory, the house of my dwelling place in your life, but also corporately.
Amen.
And in Ezekiel, we know the story of Elijah. And Elijah, you know, he goes and with the rain, and it says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, intensely, that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. And I remember reading that passage and thinking about it. And Elijah heard the word of the Lord, and then he had to pray intensely. And then he saw the manifestation of what he heard in the spirit come out in the natural. So he heard in the spirit, he had to pray intensely, and then there was a manifestation. And we read the story in 1 Kings 17 and 18, and we don't necessarily see the prayer part, but then in James it shows light on really what happened. And I remember thinking to myself, what happens if he hadn't have prayed? Would we be reading the same 1 Kings 17 and 18 that we read today? Yeah. Would we have seen the same victory and the same release and the same manifestation that we read about in 1 Kings if he hadn't have prayed? And God said to me, there are victories awaiting you. There are victories awaiting us. There are stories awaiting us that he wants to release through his body. He wants to download in the spirit, and then we pray it into being, and then we see the manifestation. But there has to be the one of calling in. There has to be the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Let every mountain come down. Let every valley be raised up. Let every crooked place be made straight. The rough places be made smooth, so that the glory of the Lord can be revealed. He's awakening the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. He's awakening the voice of the church. That we cannot remain silent in these times. There is the voice of the Lord arising in the earth. Prepare the way of the Lord. Let mountains be brought low. Let valleys be raised up. Let things be shifted so that the King of Glory can come in. Into people's lives. Into people's desolation. Into people's depression. Into people's sickness. Make way for the King of the Lord. And he wants to release the voice of who he is amongst us. And I just want to finish with this. And with the voice, when I was looking a bit more into that passage in Isaiah 40, it says, prepare. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And I felt the Lord say when I was praying this week for the church and for myself as well, you must be ready. Mm-hmm. You must be ready.
Amen.
And when he said that to me, I really felt the loving heart of God, but I also felt the weightiness of what he was saying. Mm-hmm. So my church must be ready.
Yeah.
It must be ready. There is a prowling lion seeking who he can devour.
That's right.
It is time to tighten our belts of truth and straighten our armor.
Amen.
It is time to read the word more than we've ever read it.
Amen.
It's time to pray more than we've ever prayed.
Amen.
It's time to stick so close to him
yes.
more than we ever have. Prepare the way of the Lord in your own life.
Amen.
Prepare the way of the Lord. And I found myself praying, Father, if you've got to flip stuff, flip it. If you've got to remove stuff, remove it. Father, if you've got to shake stuff, shake it, Lord God, because I want you to come into my life in a greater way. Prepare the way of the Lord in my own life, Father. Let mountains be brought low. Let valleys be raised up. Let the crooked places be made straight. Father, if you've got to shake me, shake me. If you've got to remove stuff, remove it, Father. If you've got to deal with stuff, deal with it, Father. Prepare the way of the Lord in your own life, church. You must be ready. You must be ready to perceive the days that we're living in. And I was reminded of Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And it was not a sweet cup Jesus had to drink. It was not a pleasant cup Jesus had to drink. And surrender means we're going to have to do things we don't want to do. And surrender means we're going to have to go places we don't want to go. And we're going to have to say things we don't want to say. But in that moment of surrender, the oil of the fragrance of who he is poured out through our lives. And the oil begins to come upon his feet. And the fragrance fills the room. In those moments of surrender. And there's his enabling and there's his love. I just ask you to stand with me before I pass on. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. We love you. We thank you. We thank you. Father, we thank you that you are awakening us. And Father, it can only be a heart response that says, prepare the way of the Lord in me. Prepare the way of the Lord in my own life. Father, shake what you got to shake. Move what you've got to move. Do what you've got to do, Father. Have your way. Father, have your way. It only takes a few sticks to start a fire. It only takes a few surrendered lives to start a fire. It only takes a few sticks to start a fire for you, Lord God. Have your way. Have your way. Father, prepare the way of the Lord in my life, Lord God. Reawaken, Father. Reawaken, Father. Reignite, Father. Revive what needs to be revived, Father. Breathe, Father. Breathe, Father. Would you find me willing? Would you find me ready? Would you find me willing? Would you find me ready, Lord God, in the days that I'm living in, Lord God? I hear your voice, Father. I hear what you're saying, Father. I hear what the voice of your Spirit is saying in these days, Lord God. And I will not close my ears to your voice. I will not close my heart to your voice, but I awaken my ears and I awaken my heart to the voice of your Spirit in these days, Father. I awaken my heart, Lord God, I awaken my heart, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You can blow with your fire, you can blow with your Spirit, you can blow with all that you are, Jesus. You can flip some tables if you need to flip them, God. You can shake some stuff if you need a shaking, God. You can do whatever you want to do, Jesus. You can do whatever you want to do, Jesus. You can do. Oh, Shabbat. Because I'm not here for myself, I'm here for you, God, and your glory, Shebe. Oh, Shadadahai, start a fire in me, Father, start a fire in me, Father, start a fire in me, Father, Shebe. Oh, Shadadahai, Sededede. Oh, Shadababa Yahai, I hear your voice, Now, Father. Father.
Be magnified.
I hear you. Father, loud and clear. Myself personally, this word's for me. I hear you. Loud and clear. Have your way, Jesus. Yes. Have your way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Morning, everybody. You can take a seat if you'd like to. Just want to continue with what Jen's brought this morning. Isn't that just incredible? Thank you, Jen. You're such a blessing to this body. We're so grateful for you. It's exciting times, isn't it? It's so exciting. On Wednesday night, we had the encounter here, and they are always such powerful times, and it's really like you're in an open heaven, and it's just really easy to hear from the Lord. And as I was here and just praying and watching, I just saw a deep red sunset over the whole of this auditorium, over us as Kingdom Faith, over us individually, over the church. And I just started speaking to the Lord about it, you know, what's this about? Why can I see this? What is it you're trying to say? And I was just reminded of the old saying, and it actually refers to it as well in Matthew 16, red sky at night is the shepherd's delight. And I just want to say, this is who we are. This is our position. We are the shepherd's delight. And he is over us. And he is watching over us. And we are his delight. And it's, you know, when we have a sunset and a deep red sunset, it signifies a beautiful day is on the horizon. Something new, something fresh, something different. And as I began to just pray into that over through that night, really, and next day, I heard his voice so clearly say, a new day is coming. A new day is coming. Don't fall asleep. Don't close your eyes. A new day is coming. Stay awake. Stay alert. Don't allow your eyes to become weary or your hearts overwhelmed by tiredness. Stay alert. Your new day is coming. And again, as I'm praying about it, I just believe that the Lord said to me, we are entering a time of the night watch. Not necessarily in the physical, although that may be part of it, but in the spiritual. I keep hearing that over and over again. Now is the time of the night watch. And I was reminded about the disciples falling asleep when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'll just read from Matthew 26, 40 to 41. And then he returned to the disciples and he found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch for me for even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And 3 times he had to go and awake the disciples again. And I think it's really crucial at the moment. We must stay awake and alert. Not allowing ourselves to become wearied by the enemy and by the circumstances of our lives. The enemy wants to lull us to sleep with apathy, indifference, exhaustion, and grind us down until we are completely unaware of the spiritual time that we are in, causing us to become ineffective and overwhelmed. But Jesus. But Jesus. Just close your eyes, just say his name. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, the name of Jesus, the precious name of Jesus. Jesus, you're wonderful. Jesus, you are glorious. But Jesus is good news. He yearns for us to stay awake with him, to set our gaze firmly on him. And when we truly see him, we will never want to take our eyes off of him. What love, what compassion, and what kindness he lavishes on us. Until we overflow. A new day is coming for us as individuals, as Kingdom Faith, as the wider church. And it's something that we don't approach with fear and trepidation, but I really sense anticipation and excitement. The Son of Righteousness is rising with healing in his wings. And I kept hearing that, Malachi 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. Amen. What a beautiful imagery of what Jesus yearns to do for each one of us. And so I believe what the Lord was saying through this is there is a new day for breakthrough, for you, for us. Take it for yourself. A new day for healing, a new day for signs and wonders and miracles, and a new day for us as Kingdom Faith to be equipped and released. And I just want to finish and just add to that by saying over the past probably 6 or 9 months, I've had quite a number of really strong prophetic dreams of being in here as a body and the power of God coming so strongly in this place. It is like heaven touched earth, and we were not able to even stand. We were flat on our faces. There were spontaneous miracles and healings erupting. No one praying or laying hands, just the power of God. And one of the most exciting things that I've seen a number of times in my dreams is our young people in full revival. This is such an exciting time, family. This is so exciting that even when the enemy tries to distract us and all this awful stuff that's going on in the world, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. This next generation is coming up, and that God is going to do something huge in our young people. And I'm really excited about that. So I'm going to pass over to Pastor Clive. Thank you.
Ooh, can you feel the pull of the Holy Spirit this morning? Two of you, brilliant. Can anybody else? God is encouraging whoever is listening at this time. I don't mean here, I just mean his church anywhere. But he's also challenging at the same time. I'm not going to get into I've got stuff here, but we haven't got time now. We'll do that another week. Last Sunday, if you weren't here, you haven't heard it yet, you need to listen to Jane's message last week. I would say it's the most important message we've had this year as Kingdom Faith. And this one follows it pretty quickly on its heels. Because of what God is saying and doing, we had 6 weeks of In Christ Before, which is so important to be built up, encouraged, reminded who we are in Christ, what does it mean, all of the stuff that we heard. Colin brought a brilliant message a few weeks back. Listen to that one, his one from about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Listen to James last week, and obviously we've just heard this. God is stirring a hunger in the church, fresh hunger. And hunger is fueled in two ways. One is it's fueled in prayer. If you don't pray, you won't have a hunger. If you're just listening from other people, you'll just be listening. You fuel hunger in prayer. When you spend time praying, you'll begin to hear. And when you hear, God is speaking by his word and by his spirit at this time into our lives. So I want to encourage you, spend time with God. Don't just live, if any of you are, off anything that we just say from here or whatever else you might listen to online. Don't just live off that stuff. Spend time with God. Make space. If you need to put some worship stuff on to help you just worship, but spend time with him. Some of that, just pray in tongues and position yourself like Jen did. God, I want to hear your voice in these days. I want to hear you. His word and his spirit is going to speak. You hearing God. That's one way of fueling hunger. Another way is in worship. When you worship, you begin to see him. So when you pray, you hear him. When you worship, you see him. Both are really, really important that we hear and we see at this time. I want to encourage you, outside of whatever we do on a Sunday or on a Wednesday night or any other setting during the week, spend some time on worshiping Jesus. Cultivate the Spirit of God. If you sow to the Spirit in your life, you will reap the Spirit. If the only really spiritual things you do are here when you're with others or in other settings when you're with others, that's fine, that's good, and that will help you and that will do stuff in your life. But where the real shift and change happens is when it's you and God. You feel the hearing in prayer, you feel the seeing in worship, and then this is really important. What we then live in obedience releases God. Now that might sound like a weird thing. Well, God, he doesn't need me to release him. God releases what he's doing through people. Those that hear, those that see, those that are fueling a hunger for God in their lives, and then they respond with a yes and do whatever it is that God is saying. Some of that is a call to worship and prayer, ascend, to meet with him, the intimacy, everything we've just heard this morning. And then there's a response of obedience. Some of that is in community. Colin's going to be sharing next week some things about how we're going to move forward as a whole church. This is happening in all the congregations. Some of what he's going to be sharing next week that we're going to move into more next year as a people. So what does that look like to be a community of people living something, living out all this stuff in the way that God is talking about? I'm not going to go there now. I could say some things, but I'll leave him to share next week. The importance of what it's going to look like to be more of a community. I'm just going to say one thing here. God is shifting people, you and I, and whoever is listening. He wants to shift his church from being a go-to church mindset and model, way of thinking, to a disciple-making disciples lifestyle, to a people of prayer, a people of worship lifestyle, a people who are sharing and laying down their lives for one another, a people who are then reaching out to others, a lifestyle. And that's going to be challenging for all of us increasingly. There's never just a flip moment with God. As we walk with him, he's constantly working, refining, moving in our hearts and lives. Every day is a day to surrender afresh to him. So it's not like I surrendered then and now I'm still living fully surrendered. I don't know what you're like, but I know to every day I have to bring myself before the Lord. Father, I just surrender, bring myself to you afresh today for all that you want to do in and through my life. Just to finish with this. God's purpose for his people is that they always a living understanding that we are a sent people. Adam, when God created man, what did he do? He blessed them. He said, be fruitful, increase in number and fill the earth. It's a kingdom mission, kingdom purpose. They lived sent with a purpose. Now, yes, they sinned. And instead of God's glory filling the earth, sin filled the earth. But God's plan has not changed. He then calls Noah. In chapter 9 of Genesis, he blessed him and his family after the flood. Be fruitful, increase in number. Multiply on the earth, increase upon it. That's living sent. He called Abraham. He said, a great nation's going to come through you. I bless you. All the peoples on earth are going to be blessed through you. What is that? Living sent. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, generational. God's generational promises that he said to Abraham, went to Isaac, went to Jacob, and so on. Moses, he sent him to bring the people out of Egypt. He then raised up a people. They were called Israel, the nation. He brought them into the promised land. What? To reveal to the world what it's like to have God amongst the people. They lived as a sent people. You then come to Jesus. The Father sent Jesus to the earth to bring the kingdom, to bring salvation to you and I. Then Jesus said to his disciples, in the same way the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, he said to them in Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you in power and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be sent where? To Jerusalem, where you live, Judea, your nation, Samaria, other people groups, and to the end of the earth. They were to be a sent people. Jerusalem was turned upside down in the first 8 years. They hadn't gone much beyond Jerusalem until persecution came. Once they were persecuted, they then went to the rest of the nation and beyond. They lived as a sent people. The early church lived as a sent people. What does that mean? They were an apostolic people. The church, by its very nature, according to the Bible, is supposed to be an apostolic sent people, a people who take the gospel of the kingdom and they demonstrate that kingdom with signs and wonders that follow. Are we here? God wants to move every one of us. If it is still there from I go to church, I have a bit of singing, I listen to a message, and then I get on with my life. God is changing that. That is never God's intention. Jesus didn't come to establish Sunday morning church. He came to raise up a sent people in every generation. It started with Adam and Eve. It then went through every generation. And we're alive now with the people of God on earth. And he's called us to live as a sent people. Part of being a sent people is to be a praying people, that we are given to prayer. Part of being a sent people is we are a worshiping people. We give ourselves to worship. Part of being a sent people is we love the word. We live the word because it's the word that washes and cleanses and purifies our lives. The people who are sent are living full and in the power of the Holy Spirit, because any of this stuff can only be accomplished in the power of the Spirit. A sent people have a love, not only for the church, but a love for those that don't know Jesus. What's being described this morning is the church, the people of God. And we're part of it. We're part of it.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.